Well, welcome to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 10, and we're going to begin with verse 4. And Moses called Mishael and Elizaphan and the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said.
Now, if you look at this, Aaron and his other two sons, not allowed to touch those bodies. Then you're unclean. They're in consecration. They can't defile themselves. Okay. And so Moses has someone else to carry the bodies out. Now, there's something else here I think we need to look at. If you remember what happened to Nadab and Abihu, was it says the fire came out from the Lord. Well, that word fire does not necessarily mean burning fire. It can be, okay? Their clothes aren't burned. They carry them out by their clothes. So there is a very good possibility we're talking about lightning. Whatever, it killed. You see the same thing when Korah rebelled against Moses and Aaron. What did those guys do? They offered out of their censers. Mm-hmm. And God showed whose incense he would accept. He only accepted the incense that he had ordained. And so there's some parallel with all that. But here, Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar were not allowed to defile themselves for Nadab and Abihu.
And Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar his sons, Uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest you die, and lest wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And you shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses.
This is interesting to me, okay? Not only could they not touch the dead bodies, they couldn't even mourn for them. It was a typical mourning. And so Moses tells Eleazar and Ithamar, don't uncover your heads. That was part of the priestly attire, remember? He said, don't you uncover your heads or tear your clothes. That renting the clothes, tearing the clothes, was one of the symbols of mourning. Don't you do that. So he's not allowing them, God is not allowing them to mourn for their brother. If they did, Moses said that they would die because the wrath of God would come upon them. And not only that, but would come upon all the people of Israel. So he advised them to let their relatives and all the other descendants of Israel mourn their death, for which the Lord was responsible. And he commanded them not to leave the tabernacle courtyard. He said, if you do, you'll die. Why? Because that anointing oil, that consecrating oil, is on you. And so they obeyed Moses' command. I think they had an incentive to, because they saw what happened when you didn't do it God's way. And so Moses was warning them, listen, don't you die. Do it God's way. And to me, all this is really emphasizing, do it God's way. Do it God's way, not your way. Well, what do people think? They didn't even mourn. Aaron didn't even mourn for his son. You know, the brothers didn't even mourn for the son. No, God was more important. They couldn't afford to. If they violated, they'd die too. God doesn't have a plan B. This is the way. Okay?
And the Lord spoke unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And that you may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses.
So the Lord told Moses, or pardon me, Aaron, not to drink wine or any intoxicating drink when he went into the tabernacle of meeting. In violating this command would cost him his life. So this statute was to be perpetual and adhered to by the priest of every generation. Excuse me. And the purpose for abstaining from intoxicating drinks was so they could distinguish between holy and unholy, unclean and clean. You can't go before the Lord not with a clear head.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you know you get drunk, you don't think good? And so there's specifics here. And when to me, there's more to it than just drinking alcohol. But when you go before the Lord, you better be sober-minded. Sober in your thinking. The word you're doing things the proper way, which would be God's way. Okay? Don't think you're going to go before the Lord drunk. I've seen people do it. And work out well. So I would advise you to. So
we should be mindful not to do things that will hinder us from being in the presence of the Lord. Because, like Pete said, they were getting the Lord's directions were don't drink when you're going into the tabernacle to be in my presence. We can make choices that will hinder us from being aware of the presence of the Lord. And so we just have to be mindful of that.
You know, Paul said, all things are lawful, but all things, the King James Version says, expedient, which would be advantageous. All things are lawful for me. I've been redeemed, but not everything's to my advantage. And so you don't let your liberty become a bondage, and you don't let your liberty become a snare to other people to where you're tripping up other people. He said, if eating meat offends my brother, then I'll just stop eating meat. Now then, people want to make a doctrine out of stop eating meat. No, it's if it's offending. You understand? You don't want to do something that brings offense to someone. Don't be so bullheaded and dogmatic. Well, I've been set free and I can do anything I want to and eat anything I want to. Well, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Faith's not to be flaunted. You understand? Okay. So there's a consideration that needs to take place. Go before the Lord soberly. And then these priests were told, they were the ones responsible for teaching the descendants of Israel all the statutes mm-hmm. that the Lord had spoken to them through Moses. Now, that means they had to be taught first before they were qualified to teach. God gave all these statutes to Moses. Moses gives these statutes to them. They have to learn these statutes. And so they're experiencing these things before they're qualified to go teach. How many people graduate from Bible college and think they're great preachers and have zero experience? You can't train a person to educate, not train. You can't educate a person to just go out and say what God says. You educate them in how to formulate a three-part sermon. You can educate them in how to do reference and research. You can educate them in certain things, but following the Spirit of God will come by experience. Nobody can do that for you. And so you get taught, you get experience, then you're in a position to go teach, because now you're not teaching another person's revelation. You're teaching a revelation that's been given to you. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So that means that you can't rely on commentaries and quarterlies and all this stuff. That's somebody else's thoughts. Get before God. Then you're not an echo. You become a voice. But if you did not get it directly from God, you're not a voice. You're only echoing what somebody else has said. And that's where so many people are today. Get the revelation and share the revelation.
Did you know the Lord can give you revelation through somebody else? Somebody else can be speaking, and the Lord can just quicken it inside your heart, and then all of a sudden it becomes your revelation.
The bottom line is you heard God.
That's right.
The person said it, but you heard God. And when you hear God, that's God talking to me.
Yeah.
Then that's revelation. But if you just say, well, so-and-so said, that's not revelation. That's just information.
We've mentioned this before, but you think about the magnitude of this, that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken. All these things that we've been reading about, these gentlemen were now responsible for teaching the people. That's a lot, isn't it? That's weighty, isn't it? And I think about our responsibility. I have a tremendous sense of responsibility that when the Lord teaches me, number one, to be submitted to the teaching, to be submitted to the Holy Spirit, to quicken and bring things alive in my heart, and then to be sensitive to when He wants me to share that with somebody. Well, I don't think that's unique to me. I think all of us in this room have that same responsibility. And that's not something that we should take lightly. Because, quite frankly, we're dealing with life or death situation. Eternal life. Eternal death. That's massive.
You know, often people, until they've experienced some things, they don't realize that God is actually giving them. They know something, but they don't. I don't know if that's God or not. And I mean, I've had many people to tell me, you know, well, I don't know if it's God or not. Is it God or me? I said, are you that smart? Were you thinking about that? Well, no. Then it just, all of a sudden you have this. What provoked it? Did you know something? You thinking about it? If it didn't, then it's God. You know something you didn't know before. Don't sit there and argue with it. Do what God said to do with it. If the Lord impresses you, or you get this impression or something, Don't sit there and fight yourself over whether or not it's God. But make sure it's not violating the Word or Spirit. And then it's real simple. How do I know this? Well, if I hadn't studied, I hadn't read it and all that, how do I know this? If it's not coming from some outside influence, how do I know this? You follow me? It's not as hard as people make it. And I think often people have things from God to share with somebody else, but they discount it. I think you've heard me say, I've said it several times, how the Lord impressed me one night to tell a man that God led him. And this man was very active in church. Now, I'm sitting there thinking, this man knows God's led him. You know what? You're trying to discount what the Spirit of God's telling you. And you thinking it's some wild thought. Well, why would I even be thinking about God loving that man? It wasn't provoked by any premeditation. It was just simply all of a sudden, tell him I love him. And what we have to do is learn to be prompt to obey. I didn't think that. And sure, the devil's not wanting me to tell him God loves him. You follow? So you just move out and you do it. And I was amazed at what happened. I wasn't expecting him to break and weep. It was too simple. Of course he knows God loves him. But you don't know what that person needs at that time. God does. You don't know what they're going through at that time. And it doesn't have to be some profound word. Does that sound real profound to you? God loves you. I mean, I could tell anybody in the room that. God loves you. But when the Spirit of God says, tell him, then it will have impact on that person's life. So don't discount it. Okay?
Verse 12.
Well, look at that. I know we said this, but let me just reiterate it. Okay, intoxication prevents one from thinking clearly and making wise decisions. Therefore, the Lord prohibited the priests who were on duty from drinking intoxicating beverages. Not following God's proper protocol would cost them their lives. You understand? You don't approach God flippantly. It's in fear and trembling. You minister before the Lord, it's in fear and trembling. You understand? And I'm not talking about fearful, afraid that God's going to do something bad to you. I'm talking about such an awesome reverential fear for God, recognizing who He is and how important it is to do things His way in His time.
Verse 12, and Moses spoke unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons that were left, take the meat offering that remaineth of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. And you shall eat it in a holy place, because it is thy due and thy sons' due of the sacrifices of the Lord made by fire, for so I have commanded.
Now, the consecration is still going on, right? Mm-hmm. This sounds cold. I mean, those guys were related to Moses. They're his nephews, you understand? But Moses said, no, this is what God's ordained. All right, now let's offer this grain offering. And this is the way that it's to be done. And they're to burn the what's left over. They're to eat it without leaven near the brass altar because it was sacred. And then they were told to eat it in a sacred place. It was the portion of the burnt offering due to them and their descendants. Now, this command was from the Lord. Now, you could say, well, what does God care about whether they eat it or not? You have to understand that this is a mandate of God, and it's affecting the people. This is a worship to God, so to speak, okay? And so part of that was consuming that sacrifice. And it had to be, all of it had to be consumed in a sacred place. And if it wasn't eaten, it had to be totally burned. Nothing left out. And people want to pick and choose. They want to pick the parts. No, you take all of Jesus. Consuming. You don't leave anything left over. Okay?
You know, you think about, Pete said how cold that would be. We're moving on. We need to do this. We've got this to do. Nadab and Abihu were Moses' nephews. But yet, Moses, as a man of God, a representative of the Lord, was willing, like we should be, forsake all and do what the Lord would have us to do. But when we start, and y'all, all of us go through this, what will the people think? What will my family think?
Oh, yeah.
How could you treat your family members this way? How could you do that? What, are we not important to you? Well, Moses had it in proper perspective, didn't he? God first. It's almost become a cliche now. God first. But you know what? That should be our heart's desire, that we are willing to lay aside everything else and do what the Lord would have us to do. God didn't command Moses and say, okay, y'all take a break, everybody cry, it's okay, mourn. Well, there's a time to mourn, and there's a time to rejoice. And this was not the time for mourning. Business was at hand because a lot of people were affected by this. And the more I see, the more I realize, because I'm growing in grace just like you, what we do impacts so many people. And we live our lives a lot of times, or maybe I should rephrase that. I used to live my life thinking, well, it just affected me or my little family. The things I do have impact on people, I'll be bold enough to say it, all over the world.
God first.
God first.
Always.
Verse 14. And the wave breast and the heave shoulder shall you eat in a clean place, thou and thy sons and thy daughters with thee. For they be thy due and thy sons' due, which are given out of the sacrifices of peace offerings of the children of Israel. The heave shoulder and the wave breast shall thy bring with the offerings made by fire, of the fat, to wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thine and thy sons with thee by a statute forever, as the Lord has commanded.
Here again, we're still in this consecration. This is part of it. The wave breast and thigh, and they were to be eaten in a clean place. Isn't it interesting that the eating these sacrifices was part of the consecration? I mean, you think, well, what does that have to do with being set apart and all, but that's part of this consecration period. And so it's the portion of the peace offerings brought by the descendants of Israel that were allotted to Aaron and his sons. And so when they're bringing this to the Lord, then the Lord is expecting them to consume what's brought. It's God accepting. You understand? You bring, if you bring the offering to the priest, you want that offering to be accepted by God, right? It's you ministering to God, but under that old covenant, they didn't have direct access to God, so they're going to the priest, and the God says, all right, you eat the food, and that'll be like me eating it. You follow that? And so by them not doing it that way would be that the people's sacrifice is not being accepted. That's why it was so important that these sacrifices be consumed. It'd be done God's way. And he made all this stuff a statute that the nation of Israel was to follow. And so you have to look at the big picture, not just look at it superficially. What is it representing? If you bring to the Lord, and I'm representing the Lord, and I don't need it, and I just rejected your sacrifice, then you're conveying a wrong message. Mm-hmm. That's to be done his way. See the discipline that's involved in this consecration period?
Mm-hmm. But if we stop right here.
Okay.
Okay. We'll pick up with verse 16 when we come back together.
Yes, indeed. You enlarge your territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you be before you. Amen. You guys have a great weekend, and if you get something inside you, you don't hold on to it, somebody needs it.